range, but it doesn't look right. I'll come to the bridge. He was in the workshop again, she knew. Herberto worried about him. His mechanical systems needed maintenance, a thorough overhaul, much more detailed than the two of them could provide aboard the ship. Dorn stepped through the hatch and stood behind her. It looks like a double image, Herberto said. Could there be something wrong with the radar's resolution? He glanced at the console settings, then said, Perhaps there's another ship mated to Syracuse. Another ship? But they didn't say. The radio speaker came to life. This is Syracuse, testing its communication system. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Nothing about another ship, Herberto said.
Why would they be testing their comm system? Dorn mused,
pointing to the radar image on the screen.
Look, they're emitting a tracking beacon and telemetry now.
Maybe their comm system was down.
That is a second ship mated to them, but it's not emitting any signals.
Curious.
Dorn turned Alberta's chair so he could see her face. It might be dangerous, he said.
Dangerous? How?
Remember that scavenger ship, Vogeltot, and its captain?
Valker, Alberta murmured.
Suppose someone like them is using Syracuse as bait for a trap, to lure us to them. Then they could seize this ship and...
And kill us, Alberta finished for him.
Dorn nodded solemnly. But then his eye caught a small blip on the radar screen, hurtling away from the image of the doubled ship.
That's a body,
Dorn said, with absolute certainty.
Valker was at Syracuse's backup command pod, frowning unhappily as he talked to Pauline through the locked hatch.
It wasn't my doing, he said earnestly. They did it on their own. You murdered my son, Pauline said.
Her voice was muffled by the hatch, but he could hear the anger and hatred in her voice.
They murdered your son, not me. They're part of your crew.
Valker bit back a nasty reply, took a deep breath.
All right, he said, all right. The boy's gone and says nothing either one of us can do about that.
Go away! Leave us alone!
I can't do that, Pauline. And you've got your daughter to think about now.
No response from beyond the blank hatch.
They know she's aboard the ship. They'll turn your ship upside down searching for her, and when they find her...
He let the thought dangle. After a few heartbeats, Pauline said,
You can't let them hurt her! I might not be able to stop them, Valker said. We've got to protect Angela. I can try, he said, if you'll cooperate with me.
Cooperate, Pauline pronounced the word as if it were a death sentence. A smile easing across his attractive features, Valker coaxed, Look,
my crew of lowlifes are all back at Vogeltot, getting ready for Hunter's arrival. You and me and Angela are the only ones here aboard Syracuse. If we're quick enough, we can get Angela out of wherever she's hiding and bring her to you here at the command pod.
Then what? Pauline asked.
Then while my crew's taking over Hunter, you can disengage from my ship and take off for Ceres. You and Angela. You'll be safe there.
Another silence, longer. Valker counted off the seconds. She's no fool, he told himself, but she might be desperate enough to go for it. After all, what other choice does she have?
You'll let us go to Ceres? Sure, it's not that far. You'll be able to make it there in a few weeks. My guys will be busy taking over Hunter. It's a fine ship, intact. It'll bring a good price when we take her into Ceres. They'll forget about you and your daughter. Once we get to Ceres with Hunter to auction off, they'll have their pick of the women there.
Valker nodded, pleased with his logic. It almost made sense to him. As long as she doesn't remember that she's got no propulsion fuel.
But we don't have any time to waste, he added sternly. We've got to get your daughter out of hiding and set up your command console so you'll be able to disengage from my ship at the touch of a keypad.
Pauline was shaking like a palsied woman as she sat in the command chair, listening to Volker's honeyed words, frantically trying to decide what she should do. She heard Volker's voice, muffled by the locked hatch, heard the earnestness in his tone, the urgency in his last few words. Why would he let us go? She asked herself. His men killed Theo. He knows I'll report that once we get to Ceres. Why is he so willing to help Angie and me? The memory of his naked body pressing against hers sprang into her mind. Don't be an idiot, she warned herself. He's not in love with you. He's not even infatuated with you. He's nothing but a smooth-talking murderer who will end up killing you and Angie both, after he and his crew have had their fun with us. She tried to think of some other option, some alternative that she could turn to. There was nothing, except... With an effort of iron will, she suppressed her trembling. She rose to her feet and went to the hatch. She touched the keypad on the bulkhead, and the hatch slid open. Volker stood there, an expectant smile on his face. Handsome face, she thought. Dangerous face. I'll reconfigure the control console, she said without preamble. You return to Vogeltote and deal with this approaching ship. I'll bring Angela to me once you're off this vessel. His brows rose slightly. You don't trust me? Not entirely. Volker shrugged good-naturedly. Can't say I blame you. He stepped into the pod and went straight to the command chair. What are you doing? Pauline demanded. Punching in the command code to disconnect the access tunnel. That's what you want, isn't it? Yes, she said. There's a price, you know, he said, without looking up at her. I expected there would be. Volker straightened up and turned toward Pauline. When we all get back to Ceres, I'm going to quit this crazy scavenging business. It's coming to an end anyway, the rock rats are seeing to that. And what will you do? Pauline asked mechanically. With my share of what we make from selling off Hunter, I can set myself up in business. Nothing grand. Maybe selling jewelry or other luxury items imported from Earth. And a little smuggling on the side? Volker laughed. No, I'd be strictly legitimate. But I'd want you with me, at my side. We'd make a good team together. This is his price for Angie's safety, she realized. Aloud, she replied, I'll have to think about it. I want your promise, Pauline, now. I still have a husband, she insisted. He's dead, and we both know it. He looked at her intently, his face totally serious. I want you, Pauline, for keeps. I can't. I'll protect your daughter. I'll protect you both. But I want your promise. Right here and now. Pauline closed her eyes and heard herself murmur, Very well, I promise. As long as you protect my daughter.
Victor paced restlessly about Pleiades Bridge, debating inwardly about whether he should send out a call to Pauline or not. She's out there, he told himself. I've got a good fix on her tracking beacon and I'm homing in on it. I'll be with her in 2 days, max. I should call her, tell her I'm coming. Yet something made him hesitate. He remembered his brief encounter with that scavenger ship, Vogeltode. What if he's out there with Pauline and the kids? Theo couldn't repair the antennas without help. We didn't have the stores on board to do the job. If he had, he would have done it years ago, right after we were first attacked, right after I left them. No, Victor said to himself. Theo had to have help from somebody, and whoever that somebody is, he's not emitting a tracking beacon. He's running silent. Why? His train of logic frightened him.
Because he's holding Pauline and the kids prisoners, using them to lure other ships to him so we can capture them and sell them.